Now, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people believe the lie that God doesn't speak to them. All the time I hear, well, God doesn't speak to me. I never hear God speak. Well, we know that's not the truth because God does speak to us. And we learn through this series that the primary way that God speaks to us is through the Word of God. So if you're not opening up your Word, if you're not spending time in the Bible, if you're not meditating on the Word of God, you are missing what God wants to say to you. So you can't say that God doesn't speak if you don't open it up. You got to open up His Word and hear what He has to say. And that's not the only way that God speaks to us. He also speaks to us in secondary ways. And we learned through Pastor Brandon that God speaks to us through promptings. And last week, how Pastor Sean shared how God speaks to us through our problems, that our problems are just a platform for God. And as we continue on in the series, you'll hear how God speaks to us through dreams, through open and closed doors, and how He speaks to us through people. But this morning, we are going to talk about how God speaks to us through our desires, the desires that are on our hearts, that are in our hearts. So we all have desires. Maybe you desire to be married and have kids one day, or maybe you're here and you're in high school and you desire to go to college one day, or you want to retire. Whatever the desire may be, when we have a desire in our hearts, we kind of make a plan, we get excited about it, and we think about what life would be like if this desire is fulfilled, and we just start to make plans, and we work toward those desires. Let me give you an example. Ever since I was a little girl, I wanted a puppy. I mean, I wanted a dog so bad. And my dad made it very clear that he had kids and that we weren't doing animals because he already had enough responsibility. And because I was a little rebellious, just a little, I made the comment in my mind, well, fine, when I get my own job and my own house, I'll get my own dog. And so that's what I did. I made a plan and I was setting out to make sure it was going to work. And so fast forward, Wendell and I began to date, and of course we were friends before we actually started dating. So I knew that not only did he have dogs, but he had birds and everything. So I'm like, oh great, my plan is going to work. So we get married, have kids, we do it the right way so we can make sure the kids can walk the dog, feed the dog, and we just sit there and enjoy the dog. And so I knew that my plan was going to work. So I'm like, prime time to ask him. So I'm like, Wendell, can we get a dog? And I quickly learned that I married my dad. I married my dad, and he didn't want a dog either. And so I'm like, that's fine, because it was a desire in my heart, and because if you know me, I have a plan A, B, C, and D. I was like, that's okay. I'll just go on to plan B, and I'll use the kids. And so I know two things about my husband. One thing is he loves a bargain. He is very cheap. And if he feels like he's getting a deal, you can make it happen. The second thing is, because of the way he was raised, he's a Christmas guy. So if you put anything on your Christmas list, my husband will move heaven and earth to make sure that you get it. So my daughter's birthday is 2 weeks before Christmas, and the Lord must have wanted me to have this dog. You see how we put God in everything? And so it was 2 weeks before Christmas, and we found this really great deal on a dog. And so I said, Wendell, I said, we can get the dog for Malia's birthday, and she asked for it for Christmas. And because he desired peace in the home and a happy wife, we got Gizmo Schuyler Butler in December of 2015. Look at him. Isn't he adorable? Doesn't he just make your heart go pitter-patter? Oh, my goodness. So that's him. So now I share that as an example, and that's a silly example. But it's so true that's how we are when we have a desire in our hearts. We kind of make things happen. We have plan A, B, and C because we want to see that desire is fulfilled. And that is because desires, they motivate us. Desires motivate us. And that's where we need to be careful, because all desires aren't good desires. Or what I like to say, all desires are not God desires. Now, God does speak to us through our desires, but all things that come in our, that all the desires that are in our hearts, that doesn't mean that it's from God. There's a such thing called greed. There's a thing called lust. And you can't tell me that God put the desire in your heart to want somebody else's spouse. That is not from God. So everything is not from God. So we have to be careful not to chase everything that's in the desires that are in our hearts, because you could be chasing after the wrong thing. And just because, what I like to say, just because it looks good, feels good, that doesn't mean it's good for you. Or just because it looks like God, that doesn't mean that it is God. We have a thing called flesh. And we need to be able to discern if the things that are in our hearts are from God or if they're from us. Because the purpose in God putting the desires in our hearts, he puts them there so that they can lead us down a path that he has for us. So if we're chasing after the wrong desires, you're going to travel down a road that you don't want to go on. So you have to be able to discern if those things that you're feeling in your heart, if those are from God or if that's from you. So if we know that God speaks to us through our desires, and we know that we have to discern it, how do we do that? How do we discern if what our desires are ours or if they're God's? Or maybe you're here today and you feel like, when I think about the path that God is leading me on, and when I think about the desires that are in my heart, I draw a blank. I have nothing. Well, I want to encourage you. We have a word for you today. If you would turn to Psalms 37, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. And you can follow along on the screen or on your phones, however you would like to do that. But I'll read it for you. It says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." Now, as I was reading Psalms 37, I was going to focus on Psalms 37:4 about delighting in the Lord, and he would give you the desires of your heart. And as I was reading this scripture, the Lord was like, no, I want you to do Psalms 1 through 9, because there are four things that I want you to focus on when we're learning how to discern the desires in our heart and when we're seeking the desires that God has for us. So I have the pleasure of having two amazing people join me on stage today. If you would welcome Jennifer Rush, she's our children's director, and my husband and deacon, Wendell Butler. If they would come on stage and join me. So what we're going to do today is we're going to share the four points that I felt like the Lord wanted us to focus on in this scripture. And what you'll hear is you'll hear some personal stories from them of how they walk these 4 points out. And it's not to entertain you. It's to give you some practical ways that you can apply this to your life. Amen? All right, so let's go straight to it. So number one, the first thing we must do, the four ways to discern and seek God's desires, is to first to trust. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do what is good." In other words, just trust him. Fix your eyes on him and him alone. We can get so caught up in what everybody else is doing and what God is doing in somebody else that we get distracted and we're worrying about somebody else when God has a purpose and a plan for you too. He just wants you to trust him. Trust him that he will confirm the desire if that's what he put there, or he'll reveal one if you don't have one yet. He wants you to trust him. Just trust him with your life. Trust him with everything and know that he will come through. So trust. Trust in the Lord. The second thing that we must do is we must delight. Verse 4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." I hear this scripture quoted all the time. I hear people say, "God said he would give me the desires of my heart. He said if he would give me the desires of my heart." And they quote this scripture over and over again, and they become angry when the desire has been put there and yet it hasn't been fulfilled, or if they feel like God hasn't given them a desire at all, they become frustrated and angry with God. They quote the promise, but they overlook the stipulation. God says, "Take delight in me, and then I will give you the desires of your heart." You want to skip to give me the desires, but you don't want to delight. And he's saying to delight in him. And when I think about delight, I think about Jacob and Rachel. When Jacob went to Laban's and he was set out to find a wife, and he was there for a month, and Laban said, "I can't expect you to just work here. You know, what should your wages be?" And he said, "I will work for you for 7 years if you allow me to marry your daughter, Rachel." He didn't get no pay, no vacation, no benefits, no nothing. He toiled for 7 years because he loved Rachel just that much. And the Bible says that when 7 years went by, that Jacob said it was just as a few days. That 7 years of toiling, work, felt like a few days. That is true delight. That is delight. When you're doing something that is not pretty, it's not comfortable, but you love it, you love doing it so much, it's a delight. That's how God wants us to be with him. That when we're reading our word, that we're not looking at the clock and like, 10 minutes go by? Am I done yet? We're not saying, oh, I got to pray every day. Ugh, we're not coming to church just to check something off the list. We're doing it because we truly love him and we delight. It is a joy. It is a delight to read his word and to pray and to be in his presence. It is a delight. And I can't think of anyone better to talk about this than Jennifer Rush. You know all about trusting and delighting.
So when I was in high school, I had a boyfriend who I desired more than anything else in the world. In fact, I can pinpoint that was the exact time in my life when my desire shifted, and I was no longer focusing on what God desired, but rather what I desired. Mm. And this is a dangerous place to be because it's really easy to shift from, God, is this your will for me, to God, please make this your will for me. Mm-hmm. And when mm-hmm. you do that, you're no longer following God's plan for your life, but you're trying to make your plans his plans. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I was at. So it was time for me to pick a college, and I based it off of my own fleshly desires, following after that boyfriend who I put before everything else. So I went to school based on him, and then it came time to pick a major. And once again, I listened to my own desires, and at the time, picked photojournalism. So I applied, I got accepted, I went to the orientation, was super excited, and they told me, we don't offer photojournalism anymore, you need to pick something else. So there I was at college, and I had no idea what to do. So I always had a passion for kids, even at a very young age. When I was in elementary school, I used to teach my little sister the stuff I was learning, and I would like to say I'm the reason that she's so smart today. So I decided to go with education. So while I now know the desire to teach kids was from God, I didn't know that then because I still didn't consult with God before I switched my major. So freshman year starts, and my relationship with God was getting more and more strained. Now, not only was I putting that boyfriend before God, but I was putting school before God and making all my decisions based on the way I felt, mm-hmm. which I had to learn the hard way that was going to ultimately lead in heartache. So I started turning to partying to cope with the anxiety and the sadness that I had that came with doing college and doing life on my own and not leaning on God. So then came time for the advising appointment for the education department, and they started to tell us about all the tests we had to take and all the requirements we needed to stay in the program, and I got so overwhelmed and anxious. I thought that there was no way I'd be able to get all of that done by myself and that it just wasn't going to happen. And so that's the thing about God, is sometimes he does put desires on our hearts that seem impossible for us to handle on our own. But the point is, we aren't meant to handle them on our own. We're meant to trust in God and trust that he will give us the plan to fulfill those desires.
Amen.
But since I wasn't listening to God and I wasn't focusing on his desires but my own, I let that anxiety and fear turn me away, and I dropped out of the teaching program. And I spent that whole semester in limbo, switching from major to major. And I actually switched my major 5 times before I finally picked mm-hmm. one that was on another desire that I had at the time, which was money. So I was like, what is going to make me the most money? So I went with a business degree, and I graduated in 2015 with marketing, and then I came home to Chester. And I was still living a lukewarm lifestyle, focusing on my own desires, but I did come back to church here at Cornerstone. And so Fridays and Saturdays, I would go out, party downtown, but I would be here every Sunday where I would ask for forgiveness. But then by the time Friday rolled around, my fleshly desires started to come out again, and I'd go right back out. But every Sunday, I made sure I was here, and I know now my soul was chasing something that partying was never going to be able to satisfy.
Amen.
So it took one Saturday night of hitting absolute rock bottom that next Sunday at church, I heard God speak to me for the first time, clearer than I had ever heard him before. And I remember I felt so dirty and shameful and unworthy of love, because how was God going to love me when I didn't love myself, mm-hmm. I didn't love the person who I was? And I heard him say to me, you are more than the sins that you've committed. Mm. I didn't send my son to die for just some of your sins. I sent him to die for all of your sins.
Amen.
You were forgiven.
Amen.
And in that moment, everything shifted for me. I realized that I didn't need to find my worth in anything but Christ. Mm. And I truly, for the first time in a long time, started delighting in the Lord. I quit partying, and I got more involved with the church. I joined the small young adult small group. I started helping with the youth on Wednesdays. And so one day, Pastor Travis, our previous youth pastor, asked me if I wanted to join staff here part-time to be his assistant. And I said yes, not knowing what I was getting myself into. And he had me work over the First Impressions team, which is our wonderful ushers and greeters. And while I loved the staff here and I loved working with everyone, it wasn't satisfying that desire that I had. Mm. And I made the conscious decision to pray every day. Because I had been doing things on my own for so long, I gave every aspect back to God. So I made sure I prayed every day. And I knew that this still wasn't it. Even though I was in a great place, this still wasn't the calling God had placed on my life. So I put in my 2 weeks, and then I was going to try to pursue teaching again. So about 2 weeks after I quit, I got a call from Pastor Anidra, who at the time was still the children's pastor, and she let me know that her assistant was leaving, and would I want to come on part-time to be a children's ministry assistant? And I didn't even know that this was an option. I got so excited, and I prayed, and I heard God tell me, yes, take this job. So I remember coming and helping Anidra, and on the first Sunday that I was here in Kids Church, I was so overwhelmed with emotions, I just started crying, and I could feel God say, this is it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take long for God to open so many doors. I want to say within like 6 months, what started as an assistant position, working a couple hours in the office, turned into a full-time children's director position. And every need that I had along the way, God provided for me in a way that only he can do, and only a way that is explained by him. And so I tell you all this to say that when we trust God and when we listen for him, not only will he place those desires in our heart that maybe we didn't even know were there, but he will fulfill them in only a way that he can. So now I don't only get to teach kids, but I get to teach kids about the faithfulness and the faithful God that helped me with everything.
Amen. Can we just give God a shout for that? It has been a joy to work with Jen and to see that all that God is doing in her life. So she is proof that when you choose to trust God and when you delight in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. He will prove himself to be faithful over and over and over again. You just have to trust him and take delight in him. And you'll find, just like for her, that he'll become your desire. And the things that you thought were there, they're not even there anymore. He's doing some new stuff, so it's great to see what God is doing in her life. So that brings me to our third point, when we are learning to discern the desires in our heart, or if we're seeking desires, and that is to commit. Verse 4 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. When we say commit, that means we have to give it over to God. Give it to God the way that you think that it's going to look like, with the timing that you think it should happen. It's like, I'm giving everything to God. I'm committing my life to you. And as Jen said, every aspect of your life, is just commit that to him. And you'll find that as you commit, when you get to point 4, which is wait, it says, verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Because when God puts a desire in your heart, as Jen said, sometimes you find that it's bigger than you. And you know that there is no way possible that you can make it happen. It would be God. So you just have to commit it over to him and say, God, you do this however you see fit. So I'm giving you how I think it should work, and I'm trusting that you will make it work. And he doesn't want you to wait in with agony or because of inactivity. He wants you to wait, knowing that he will fulfill his promise to you. If he put it there, if he has confirmed it, if he said, this is the thing I've called you to do, he will do it. And he wants you to wait, expecting him to come through. And I can't think of anybody better than my husband, the person I live with every day that I have seen walk out committing and waiting. And you know all about the waiting in agony.
Yes, I do. I have an expert in it. Actually, I was born in a Christian home, and actually my family is here. My parents, my big sister and bro, and my dad and my mom. Hold on, before I talk to my mom. My wife is my best friend. I love her more than any other woman on the planet. I would do anything for her. She's
Thank
the
you.
Most important woman. Now that I got that mess out of the way, Mama, how you doing? I love you. Ha 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 ha. I kid. No. But when I was 13 years old, a youth leader came to me and he said, Wendell, I feel God has called you into full-time ministry. And at that time, I thought, okay, yeah, whatever, because, you know, I was going to go to the NBA and be a basketball player, and I was going to marry Vanessa Williams. That was my calling, I thought. Didn't
but
quite
you got me. You got me.
Yeah. And but for those of you know, Rick Fox took that anointing anyway, so for those who don't know who he is, he took that. That's okay. That's okay. Between the ages of 13 to 17, God was consistently confirming this call. We had a church of about 2,000 people, and every time we'd have a guest speaker, he'd pull me on the stage. Every time we have another guest speaker, he pulled me on the stage, and they all said the same thing. God's called you to full-time ministry. You're going to preach his word. Hallelujah. And I heard it. It happened so much, guys, that it actually was laughable. Like, I started to tell what they were going to say before they said it. That's how mm-hmm. much it was happening. So fast forward to I'm about 17 years old, and I get serious about God, and I started to develop a relationship with him. And he shows me that I'm actually supposed to marry Anidra. And we're going to be husband and wife, and we're going to minister, and I'm thinking, wow, that's great. So I go to Anidra, and I try to, you know, talk to her, and she wanted no parts of me, which is crazy, y'all. I don't quite understand that. And so I kept trying, and she kept saying no, no, no. But here's the thing, you guys. As much as she denied me, I never once thought I was ugly. So, whatever. I thought she just had problems. But that's either here or there.
Whatever.
So I thought, you know, forget that. So I just concentrated on God. And I had an opportunity, actually, to go to England on a missions trip. And yeah. Reading, Bracknell was actually where I went. And God used me in a powerful way. And I was a teenager. I was ministering to adults, prophesying, laying hands. Power of God came in. People were laid on the floor. And I was like, God, you know, this. I love this. This is awesome. And so I get home, and I had an opportunity to preach. Now, mind you, I don't know anything about sermon preparation or anything like that. I was like a kid. I had a piece of paper about half a page long, right? And so I'm preaching, in like 5 minutes, I'm done. But luckily for me, God bailed me out. Power of God came down. It was a phenomenal situation for me. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this preaching thing is easy. Like, let's go, God. I mean, you know, and in my immaturity, you know, I really didn't concentrate in school like I was supposed to because, hey, I'm called and anointed, right? And
please don't do that, kid.
Yeah, that's
please.
Not a good idea. So about that time, Anidra, you know, gets sense and decides to date me. And so at that point, the two of us, we start spending a lot of time together, and she actually becomes my guide, though. Like, I put all my attention, first all my attention was on ministry. And then my attention is on her. And that's a very dangerous place to be in when you put someone else or something else above God. Out of that, sin came. So the two of us, we did get married. She was 5 months pregnant when we got married. And everybody knew. Mind you, everybody knew my call. And so they looked at me and they was like, man, I thought you were called. Like, what? You know? And that kind of hurt. But time goes on. And here I am now, I'm a father, and I have a child, and now I have 3 kids at this time, and I'm struggling. Like, how do I do this? I was a youngest of 3, and I didn't have any responsibilities. I didn't know how to be. You weren't born yet, baby. She's holding up 4. You weren't born yet, sweetheart. I'm sorry. Very important. But I had 3 kids at the time, and I didn't know how I was going to take care of them. I didn't know how to be a man. And so I'm just praying. And at the same time, I'm angry. Because, you know, my relationship with God at that point had been like a roller coaster, up and down. And I'm angry. And then my peers, I had people that I grew up with who never were called, like, you know, from the stage like I was, but God is using them in full-time ministry. They have churches, and everything's going great for them. And I'm like, God, what about me? Like, what's going on? But moving forward, years go by, and Anidra, God calls her to full-time ministry and calls her to ministry, period. And I'm like, okay, God, I see it happening now. So I'm getting excited. But it still hasn't happened the way I thought it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I battled with that because, you know, I was just so passionate about it, you know. And then I'm trying to figure out how to support this family. That's my focus and not the ministry. But it wasn't until I actually decided I was going to lay everything down and just concentrate on just God alone. And so I would just begin to pray and to seek him daily, and to seek him daily. And it didn't happen overnight. It was just a relationship that I developed. I was in the delighting stage, mm-hmm. where I would get in my closet and pray and spend time with him and not concentrate on the clock or anything else. And through that time, God showed me that I was chasing the call instead of the creator. Mm-hmm. I was chasing the promise instead of he who gave the promise. Mm-hmm. And that's when I saw my mistakes and my flaws. And so I repented and I cried out. And so time goes on still. And Anidra, her knowing my call, she said, you know, it's really hard for me to do this because I know you want it so bad. But it wasn't until I let it go. I said, you know what? It's okay. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I've been free of that. I said, God, I gave it to you. And the minute I did that, I broke down and I started to cry because I finally understood that God doesn't owe me anything. God, if you don't do anything else, right. You've done enough.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
And so, I'm trying to get myself together. And so, yeah, you've done enough. And so that's what I leave that with you. I say this to you, is that God has called you to something, if he's promised something to you, I don't know, it could be your kids, you've been praying for your kids, you've been praying for whatever it is, I'm here to tell you right now that God is going to do what he called, what Amen. He said he was going to do in your life.
Amen.
Right now, I'm in the waiting stage, and a lot of times the waiting stage could be uncomfortable. But for me, I'm in the waiting stage, but while I'm waiting, I'm committing.
Yeah,
I'm giving everything I can to God. I'm not going to stand here anymore like I had in the past and just sit back. I'm getting involved, and I'm going to allow God to use me where I am now. And so that's what I would encourage you all in that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you got me coming. And that's so important. I think there may be some of you that are in that stage where you feel like you're waiting, and you need to get to that place where you just commit it to God, and that you're not waiting with a sense of agony, but you're allowing God to use you right where you're at. And that, hey, if I'm waiting, I know that he's gonna come through. If he put it there, if he confirmed it, if he put the desire there, I know he's gonna come through. And I'm not gonna wait in agony anymore. I'm gonna just choose to delight in him, and I'm gonna allow him to use me right where I'm at. And so I watched my husband walk through this, and I've told him it was painful to watch, but to see how he is, that's contagious, that crying. But to see how he's spending time with God and allowing him to be and just delighting in him, it's night and day. I mean, now it's like he has his peace, he's serving, he's doing all different kinds of things. That's because he's allowing God to use him where he's at. So I would encourage you, if that is you this morning, that just allow God to use you where you are. Amen. Well, this week, as I was preparing, the Lord gave me a dream on Wednesday night. And it was about my parents. My parents were in the dream, and I asked the Lord, I was like, is this for my parents, or is this for, you know, what I'm about to teach on Sunday? And because I know that when God says something, sometimes it may be for one person, but sometimes it's for multiple people. And I heard him say, no, this is for your church as well. So the dream is that I was in this room, and my father had passed away. And I could see him in the casket, and the casket was closed. And my sister was with me in the dream, and she goes up to the casket, she opens it, and she starts, you know, like rubbing his neck. And as she started rubbing his neck, his eyes and stuff started to move. And I'm thinking, okay, he's alive. So it moves over to my mom, who is in the dream. I know that she's in a coma. And so I go over to her, and I shake her, and I said, Mom, he's not dead. And she wakes up. And so then it shifts over to two hands, and there were one hand was dry and just, it looked as if it was dead, it had no life to it, and then there was another hand that was vibrant and full of color, and you could tell that there was life in it. And so I heard, it's a miracle. And so I was getting ready to rebuke the dream, because anytime I have a dream that I don't like, I'm like, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And the Lord told me, don't do that. Don't do that because you don't know what you're about to rebuke. And I said, okay. And so he just told me to write it down. And so I wanted to read it because I wanted to make sure I'm not adding to it. And it says that I'm going to take what looked like was dead, and I'm getting ready to completely resurrect it. I'm going to restore it. And the dream, so when I got to my mom about my mom being in a coma asleep, he was telling me in the dream that some of you have fallen asleep to those desires. Because what you thought, it looked like it was dead, that God wasn't doing anything, he wasn't doing anything in your timing, you just kind of fell asleep to it. And God says, wake up, it's not dead. Wake up, it's not dead. I'm getting ready to resurrect, I'm getting ready to restore what you thought was dead. And so this morning, I feel like there are some people who are just like Wendell. And God has put a desire there, and you've been waiting. And you've kind of fallen asleep to it. And you thought that it was dead because maybe some time, years have gone by, and you feel like God hasn't done anything yet. And this morning he says, wake up. It's not dead. Just because it didn't happen in the time that you want it to happen, that doesn't mean that it's dead. And that you just need to get to the place like Wendell where you just commit your life, commit the timing, commit the desire to God. And I know that it's painful. Like when I saw him cry out that it was pain because he wanted that so bad. And maybe that's you. And you wanted it so bad, but God is just saying, would you just wait on me? Wait, because I will come through. Or maybe you're like Jen, and you're at the point where you've been doing things your own way for so long. And God is, it's not too late for you to turn around. And God says, would you just trust me? Would you trust me with your life? Would you trust me to know that your life is in the very palm of my hands? Just delight in me. Delight in me. And you'll find that his desires will become your desires. And you will be able to truly delight. And you won't be, for Jen, she was searching and trying to find that, to fill that void. And God is saying, if you would just delight in me, I can do that for you. I can do that for you. So this morning, I know that for the past few weeks that we've been taking some time to wait and just to hear what the Lord wants to speak to us. But this morning, I felt like the Lord was saying that this needs to be a private moment between you and him. That maybe there are some desires that you've had there that you feel like you've been waiting for a long time and nothing has happened. Or maybe you feel like God hasn't given you a desire. But this morning, he wants you to delight. And I think that we all need to take a moment, as Pastor Brian leads us in this song, just to take a moment to delight in the Lord and just enjoy his presence. And when you walked in this morning, you should have received one of these bookmarks inside of your family guide. And on the back, it's a notes section. And what I want to encourage you to do is, as you're delighting in the Lord, I want all of us to take a moment to go through those 4 points: to trust, to delight, to commit, and wait. Wait. Wait and hear what he wants to say to you this morning. And so if you feel like God gives you something, I would encourage you to write it down on that bookmark, on the back of that bookmark. And if you feel like the Lord has given you a word for us corporately, I would ask if you would write that down and you would bring it to our lead pastor here, Pastor Sean. And we will confirm if we feel like that is a word that the Lord wants to speak to all of us right now. So if you would, if you feel like God has given you something for all of us, please write that down and bring it to our lead pastor, Pastor Sean. But if you would this morning, would you just bow your heads this morning? And would you just remove every weight that you have this morning? And would you just take a moment as he sings this song to delight in the Lord and allow him to speak to you this morning?